Hit a home run and get pre-approved for your next refinance or home purchase at thehomeloanexpert.com. Enjoy the podcast.
Welcome into Scoops with DannyMac.com. It was the first full squad workout yesterday at Roger Dean Stadium here in Jupiter, Florida. We're coming to you from the Lou Fews Automotive Studios on Scoops with Danny Mac. 14 brands, 10 locations. Lou Fews, they are St. Louis. See more at Fews.com. A lot to get into. Every single day, it seems like there's more info that comes out with the St. Louis Cardinals when you cover a major league team, and that's what we have here today. An update on Miles Michaelis, what his situation may be. We'll talk about the 26th man in Major League Baseball. Now on rosters, you got to have a 26th man. That's a new rule. Also a new rule, 3-batter minimum for all pitchers. That obviously pertains more so to relievers than starters. We'll talk about that with Derek Gould. And also, being the first full squad workout, we'll talk about some of the matchups that took place yesterday, including guys that were, well, let's just tell you, they were, as kids, best of friends, and now have been reunited here in St. Louis and Jupiter, Florida. That's Libator and Gorman, those two. A discussion about those two is coming up. Thanks to Triad Bank, we're here in Jupiter, Florida, full-service financial institution established in 2005, a mission to provide a wide range of commercial and personal banking services to you. I do my banking there. I hope you do as well. TriadBanking.com, TriadBanking.com. When we come back, a nice long visit with Derek Gould of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Dan McLaughlin here to tell you about the hometown automotive family I trust the most, the Lou Fews Automotive Network, and you know they are St. Louis. Lou Fews has been a part of St. Louis for over 7 decades. They're proud to support St. Louis and the surrounding areas with cars, youth, sports, and charitable efforts. 14 brands, 10 locations. Just visit Fews.com to start shopping today.
Lou Fews, we are St. Louis.
It's all aboard the newest restaurant in St. Louis, the Train Shed at Union Station. Perfect place before and after Blues and Cardinal games. Historic St. Louis Union Station is downtown's newest dining destination with Train Shed's creative pub and the Soda Fountain's modern diner. The Train Shed at Union Station. Derek Gould of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch is with us every day, Monday through Friday on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. And he has been covering this team for a number of years and now a number of days, including the first full squad workout for the St. Louis Cardinals yesterday. So, Derek, as we visit on this Tuesday morning, what did you take away from the first full squad workout yesterday?
It's interesting to see some of the young guys get in there against pitchers, live BP right off the hop. One of the young prospects goes, well, they're not waiting around. It's right into this thing, aren't we? And it's like, yeah, that's how this works. Libertor faced Gorman, which was fun. Two boyhood friends who hadn't faced each other since high school and really hadn't faced each other all that much. But, you know, Libertor's a lot different than he was in high school. Taller, longer, throws harder. Gorman was giving him a hard time for not having to use his curveball or for not throwing his curveball. And Libertor said, I didn't need it against you. So it was good. It was good fun was had. You know, that's usual setup. I think just a lot of action on day one, and you kind of look for the scenes that you can grab, right? Like everybody pairs up on the major league field where the infielders were, and there's only one person at shortstop, Paul DeJong. And so he's going through all the ground balls while everybody else is alternating ground balls. Then Ozzie Smith jumps in. So little scenes like that, that you get from day one, that kind of show you the baseball's getting back to work.
Yeah, I don't know if you feel this way. I was roaming around on the backfields. I feel like everything is so rushed because it's March 26th is going to be here before you know it. And I just feel like they're just trying to, and this is not just the Cardinals, but everybody's trying to get so much in a small, small window of time to do it.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think we're going to see even more of that.
I agree. Yeah,
days.
For sure. Yeah.
I think day one was actually like, to be honest, I'm like, wow, you know, this is kind of light for as little time that they have, you know, and I don't say that facetiously. I'm like, okay, hey, there's some guys standing around. We don't really see standing around too much here. Okay. This schedule, but you know, if they had gone full bore, they wouldn't have been out of here till 3:30, 4 o'clock. And again, I don't say this flippantly. We saw that act. I mean, it was what, 7 years ago that we saw that, where like, it's 3 o'clock and it's like, this is when they're coming in. That's a little long.
Absolutely.
What's going on here? And they just, you know, today I thought, well, they didn't really pack a whole lot in. They had physicals, they had meetings, they had things like that today. I think in the next few days, we're going to see an acceleration, especially for some of the pitchers who are, well, actually, you know what, especially for all of the pitchers, because they're all supposed to appear in those first 5-6 days of spring.
It's interesting, too. The first day is a split squad. So you're going to have guys all over the place here in Florida.
Yeah. It's just, you got a lot going on here. You know, they're trying to cram 30 games into 31 days. You know, and then that doesn't even include the exhibition game in Texas. So it's a really tight window. And it's just different. It's different. And there's more people than ever here. I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, I don't want to get too far ahead, but I would be shocked if we didn't see some sloppy play from some teams in those first weeks of the regular season, and that we could trace it back to spring training.
Yeah, it's a good point. Derek Gould is always with us Monday through Friday on Scoops with DannyMac.com. There is some news concerning Miles Michaelis. What do you know? What's the latest with him?
So there's concern for Miles Michaelis. First and foremost, it has to do with the fact that he received treatment for this and that there didn't see improvement, that all it took was an aggressive bullpen and then he was back at the same problem. This has caused some alarm. It also has caused a lot of discussion as to what the next level of treatment is. You know, on the table is another PRP injection that would delay him for a while. You know, more aggressive or longer term treatments are also being discussed. They want to have some kind of final feel for it here, you know, in the next probably 24 hours, if not fewer, Dan. And where it's at right now is it sure seems like whatever course they take, it's not going to bring him back on the mound quickly. And that puts, you know, the opening of the season in jeopardy. That's where the conversation has gone.
Yeah, I've gotten that same feeling down here in Florida. When I looked at the rotation, and I don't know if you agree with this, but I saw Waino, Martinez, Hudson, Michaelis, Flaherty, KK Kim maybe on the outside looking in, or at least in a battle. Yeah. So it really does put a premium on his appearances here in spring training to try to figure out, you know, where he's at, what he's about, and how he fits into the plans.
Yep. And then that's very true. And that's at the top of the list. And also then maybe one notch lower than that is how long they look at Helsley as a starter and how much consideration they give Gant as a starter and where they fit in Ponce de Leon and Gomber. Because one of the things that they have to avoid, and this goes back to the condensed schedule, is getting to a point in March where they're like, okay, look, we're not sure that KK can start, but they definitely need a fifth starter from somewhere. So who's that going to be? And do they keep innings open enough, or do they keep, you know, Grapefruit League innings open enough to properly evaluate where guys are? I think it calls all of that into question. I think, though, to be fair, there's a good bit of optimism about Kim and having that lefty look for them. There's good, they're encouraged by what they see from Helsley. And he continues to kind of intrigue as a starter, and they want to give him those innings. He may even get a start here or two.
I think he may get two, Derek. You may see two with him.
It's possible. Yeah, I know that's been discussed, and that's what he's been prepared for. So he goes two, then four innings. That's not exactly a reliever's turn, man. So, you know, I think people should keep that in the back of their head that, yeah, KK has the edge, and that's what they want to have happen. They'd like to have – well, I mean, that's why they signed him. And he wants that to happen. But the Cardinals are quietly putting the boxcars together for other options.
I find it very interesting, and we'll wrap it up with a couple of things here. And we do this Monday through Friday, so there's so much to get into every single day. But the 26th man, and I mm-hmm. have a visit with John Mozeliak on the website about the 26th man and how the Cardinals may approach it. What are your thoughts on it? What are you hearing, and what are the players saying about it?
Well, My thoughts are that, you know, it really balances the bench, to be honest. It gives, you know, one of the things that we saw with the bullpen was the addition of the 13th man, right? And for some teams, that was that like insurance reliever, the long reliever, that kind of guy. But for other teams, for probably more teams, it was the allowance of a specialist, right? Be it a right-handed specialist or a left-handed specialist, though lefties have kind of been reduced. But anyway, it allowed for a specialist of some type, whether that was a guy to just absorb innings or someone for a targeted usage. I think the same kind of thing is in play now for the bench. That 13th player allows for that guy to be a specialist. It could be a backup shortstop if you feel your other guys are hitters and can play multiple positions. Or it could just be a guy who excels really a lot at pinch hitting and doesn't have a position. Or for some teams, it could be a third catcher because they want to use their catcher to pinch hit, or their backup catcher or their other catcher to pinch hit. You know, I think it opens everything up. For the Cardinals, you know, there's a lot of different ways they could go with it. Obviously, their actions right now say that they want Ronel Rivera to at least have a shot at that. That's one of the reasons why they did not complete a deal that would have sent him to Korea to play. They had a deal in place for him, and they pulled him back from it. They're not going to do that and then yank the carpet out from underneath him and say, okay, back to the minors with you. Not if he proves to play well and be that pinch hit specialist. It also frees up a spot where, you know, I mean, there's room in the world for Miller and Edmund to make the team, right? The left-handed bat, switch hitter who plays everywhere. There's a lot of sense that makes for them to both be on the team. But it allows for an Edmundo Sosa to appear as a backup shortstop as well. I'd be interested in this, Dan. Have you gotten an explanation where the Cardinals could legitimize carrying a third catcher? I've yet to hear that explained well.
Yeah, I've gotten varying opinions about it, and we've talked about it. You don't want to stunt the growth of Andrew Kisner. One of the interesting things, and I don't know what you think or feel about this, but if we get automated strike zones, and I think we both agree that the thing that Andrew's got to work on more so than his offense and his physical abilities as an offensive player and running and all those kind of things, it's defense.
Yeah, yeah. He needs reps, yeah.
Absolutely. And if you have, though, a situation where he's able to get, you know, offensive reps as a pinch hitter daily or comes in and, you know, spells somebody here or there, it might be worth carrying him. Because on the horizon is that if it's an automated strike zone, meaning that framing pitches is not a premium, well, then defense is not a premium for a catcher. I found that very, very interesting, you know, thinking about the future, immediate future of Andrew Kisner.
Maybe. I could see that. Calling games is something that he also needs.
A pitcher, though, could do that.
Pitcher could do that, yes, sir. Or, God forbid, they do it from the dugout, I guess.
Well, we're not in college.
Kind of clunky. No, I know. Some people just don't. I mean, nobody likes doing that.
No.
So, I mean, I like I said, it'd be clunky. I guess you just be using the 26th man as a musical chair, and that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, that's how it's going to be used anyways.
All right, final question, 3-batter minimum. What have you heard about that too?
Mostly that, you know, there's a lot of confusion as to exactly how it'll be implemented. What does it mean? It you know, it seems kind of self-explanatory, right? 3-batter minimum, but there's a lot of wrinkles to it, right?
Yeah, like, the thing that I hear is that people say, well, now wait a minute, somebody comes in and there's two outs and he gets the one out in the eighth. Does that mean he has to get the next two guys in the ninth?
No,
and the answer is no, it ends. So I don't.
Here's one for you.
I'm not sure the strategy is there that it once was. But anyway, go ahead.
Right. No, you want a good one here? Okay. So.
Well, Derek, that's why I have you on.
All right. So here we'll play baseball rule specialist here.
I mean, you and I are a couple of baseball geeks, so it's all good.
We are. Oh no, and this is
we dive into these things.
Yeah, no, this is inside baseball geekery to the nth degree. Andrew Miller comes in. There's a runner on first. And there's nobody out. All right. He picks that runner off.
Oh, yeah. I hadn't thought about that.
All right.
Well, that's got to be, though, but that's on him. So that's one out. Even with that batter there.
Does that count as a batter face?
Yes, I think it does. Actually,
it does not.
Oh, really?
Really.
All right, I got bad info.
Yeah, well, that's the explanation I got from the source trying to interpret the rule to me, and as it was spelled out.
Well, maybe your source is wrong.
No, this is how it was spelled out to the teams. All right, so if it was, then everybody's wrong, which I wouldn't put it past them. And man,
no, we're all figuring it out, so it's all good.
Oh, my God. This is ad hoc baseball. It's crazy. You know what? It's like the commissioner has an Etch-A-Sketch, and he writes out rules and goes, everybody do this, and then everybody does that, and by accident he shakes it. And they're like, what are we supposed to do? And he was like, okay, now do this. You know, by August, there'll be 22 teams in the playoffs at this rate.
Well, it was supposed to, you know, the anticipation of this was to speed up pace of play. I just don't know if it does that. Yeah,
it doesn't.
I totally agree.
It's a joke. It's all cosmetic. And now you're really going to get me going. All this stuff, like the replay and the three batter minimum, all of it is cosmetic. It's all razzle dazzle with one hand to take them off the real scent of what is happening. Analytics have strangled the pace of play.
Yep.
Commercials have strangled
the pace of play. Whoa.
Well, they've also filled all of our coffers, and we're grateful for it.
Thank you very much. Yes.
So that's not going to change. And well, the analytics isn't going to change.
You know, one of the things I harped on, though, let me just say this. One of the things I harped on was that umpires need to wear a microphone to explain it to the crowd and to those watching at
home. That's going to
happen. Thank goodness it's happening. That is a positive thing for the game.
Would you like me to fix baseball? Here, we can go out on
this. Of course, you think you can, so go ahead.
Right. No, tell me I'm wrong. I've yet to – this is what you do. You know the current strike zone, where it is, right? Keep it the same at the top. Lower it about 2 inches to the bottom of the kneecap or the upper part of the shin and the lower reaches. Do that.
I've said that forever.
That's it.
I've said that forever. I've said the number one thing you have to do is call the letter of the law with the strike zone. And if you do that, players adjust. These guys are an abnormality. They are extremely good at what they do. They're the best in the world. They'll make the adjustment. And then, in turn, it helps the game.
More balls in play. There'll be more hard ground balls in play. There'll be less pulls, so there'll be less shifting. They'll have to adjust. Hard ground balls in play, all of that just with an adjustment of the strike zone. And everybody goes, well, you know, the hitters will just swing and miss. There'll be more strikeouts in the game. They won't. They'll adjust. And they're not going to elevate that pitch. They're not going to have, you know, some guys will have golf swings to try to drive that for damage. But all of them will be trying to hit that hard. Just hit it hard. Put the ball in play.
So
that will become that'll fix a lot of this.
Hey, Blues fans, join the party all season long at Hot Shot Sports Bar and Grill at one of their 11 area locations. Great food and drink specials available during every Blues game. It is your home for Blues hockey. Remember, if the Blues score 5 any game this season, you get Hot Shots legendary tacos for $1 each the next day. Find a Hot Shots near you at hotshotsnet.com. Proud partner of the St. Louis Blues. Hair Saloon for Men. You'll receive the perfect haircut, complimentary beverage, relaxing shampoo, hot towel, and a men complimentary shoe shine, all for just $22. Hair Saloon for Men.
What are we talking about tomorrow?
We could talk about resolution with Miles Michaelis, and level and timetable for him. Talk about Dylan Carlson. We could talk about we could talk about this part of the three batter minimum, that maybe in the end what it really changes is lineups.
Well, I would agree with that. That's the strategy that no one talks about. It's not the in-game immediate strategy. To me, it's a lineup. But
yeah, so let's talk about that.
But I dive into these things, as you know. So But I try to keep it basic because, you know, it's just a podcast and we're having a little fun.
No. We're heavy. We're talking deep baseball here. That's what people come to us for.
We're geeks. Derek?
We are.
Talk to you tomorrow, buddy.
Sounds good.